some high-ranking up-and-comer, hand-selected by Cetricus Ra, like the ones I've seen nervously delivering status reports to their beloved leader. Try as I might to keep cool, I still can't help emitting a little gasp when Five steps out of the ship. Cetricus Ra looks back at me.
You two are already acquainted, yes?
One of Five's eyes is hidden beneath a gross-looking gauze bandage, a smudge of dark brown blood in the center, the edges sweat-stained. He looks ragged and exhausted, and when his good eye flicks towards me, his thick shoulders become even more slumped. He stops right in front of Cetricus Ra, his gaze downcast.
What is she doing here?
Five asks quietly.
We are all together now, Cetricus Ra answers, and grasps Five by the shoulders. The liberated and the enlightened, poised on the brink of absolute Mogadorian progress. In no small part, thanks to you, my boy.
Okay, Five grunts.
I remember Five being in my vision. He was there to escort Six and Sam towards their execution. Six spit right in his face. But I guess I'd glossed over that part, more concerned with my disturbing connection to Cetricus Ra. Now, here he is, receiving a pat on the back from the Mogadorian leader, the future already taking shape. And apparently, I've been promised to him for whatever creepy ritual passes for a Mogadorian marriage. Right now, though, that's not my most pressing concern. Because if Five is here, looking like he just got out of a fight...
What did you do?
I ask, my voice squeakier than I'd like.
What happened to the others?
Five looks at me again, and his lips screw up. He doesn't reply.
You gave them a chance, did you not?
Cetricus Ra asks Five, but I can tell he's speaking for my benefit.
You tried to show them the light.
They wouldn't listen, Five replies quietly. They gave me no choice.
And look how they repaid you for your attempt at mercy,
Cetricus Ra says, brushing his fingers against the bandage on Five's face.
We will have that repaired immediately.
I take a surprised step backwards when Five slaps away Cetricus Ra's hand. It's a stinging blow, the impact echoing off the ships around us. I can't see his face, but I can see the muscles in Cetricus Ra's back tighten, his already rigid posture stiffening that much more. I get the sense of an immense bulk hiding inside that human form, just waiting to explode outward.
Leave it, Five says, voice shaky and quiet. I want to keep it this way.
Whatever rebuke Cetricus Ra might have been ready with doesn't come. He seems almost taken aback by Five's fervor to remain half-blind.
You're tired,
Cetricus Ra says, finally.
We will discuss it further once you've rested.
Five nods and takes a cautious step around Cetricus Ra, as if he's uncertain whether the Mogadorian overlord will actually let him pass. When Cetricus Ra doesn't try to stop him, Five grunts and slouches his way towards the exit. He makes it about halfway there before Cetricus Ra calls after him.
Where is the body?
He asks, stopping Five in his tracks.
Where is the pendant?
Five clears his throat, and I notice his hands start to shake, at least before he makes a conscious effort to steady himself. He turns back around to face Cetricus Ra, who is looking towards the open ship, obviously expecting something to be waiting for him.
What body?
I ask, feeling the tightness in my chest. When they ignore me, I raise my voice higher.
What body? Whose pendant?
Gone, Five says simply, answering Cetricus Ra.
I asked you a question, Five. I shout.
What? But...
Without looking at me, Cetricus Ra waves a hand in my direction. My teeth click together as he telekinetically shuts my mouth. It's like being slapped, and my cheeks grow hot with anger. Someone is dead. I know it. One of my friends is dead, and these two bastards are ignoring me.
Elaborate.
Cetricus Ra growls at Five, and even in his handsome human form, I can tell his patience is beginning to wane. Five sighs like this whole exchange is a waste of time.
Commander Deltok decided he would watch over the body personally, and I didn't want to question his orders. I found Deltok's remains right before we left. The guard must have snuck in and escaped with her friend.
You were supposed to bring him to me,
Cetricus Ra hisses, his eyes burning holes into Five.
Not Deltok. You.
I know, Five replies.
He wouldn't listen when I told him those were your orders. At least he died for his insubordination.
I watch a dark cloud pass over Cetricus Ra's face, wheels turning behind his stolen blue eyes, as if he knows Five is playing him somehow, the rage building up. I feel his telekinetic grip on my jaw loosen. He's distracted, now focused entirely on Five. Before he can say or do anything more, I step between the two of them, raising my voice a little higher. This time, they have to pay attention to me.
What body? Who are you talking about?
Finally, Five's good eye lands on me.
Eight. He's dead.
No,
I say, the word practically a whisper, as I try, too late, to stop myself from reacting. My knees feel weak, and Five's impassive face becomes blurry as my eyes fill with tears.
Yes,
Cetricus Ra chimes in, and all the rage has been drained from his voice, replaced by something more coiled and sinister, his tones showy and overly congenial.
Five here saw to that, didn't you, my boy? All in the service of Mogadorian progress.
I take a step towards Five, my fists clenched.
You? You killed him?
It was...
For a moment, it looks like Five might deny it. But then he glances quickly at Cetricus Ra and simply nods.
Yes.
Just like that, all my effort to show no emotion around Cetricus Ra slips away. I feel a scream building up inside me. I want to attack Five. I want to throw myself at him and tear him apart. I know that I wouldn't stand a chance. I saw the way he handled himself in the lecture hall, the way he can turn his skin to metal or anything else he touches. But I'll do as much damage as I can. I'll break my hands on his metal skin if it means getting just one punch in. Cetricus Ra puts his hand on my shoulder, stopping me.
I believe now would be an excellent time for that lesson we discussed,
he says to me in that same phony tone.
A lesson in what?
I spit, glaring at Five. Five looks almost relieved that Cetricus Ra's attention now seems focused on me.
May I be excused?
He asks.
You may not,
Cetricus Ra replies. From next to one of the ships, Cetricus Ra grabs a cart covered in tools, wrenches, pliers, screwdrivers, all made for servicing the Mogadorian ships, but not so different from the ones on Earth, and wheels it over next to us. He looks down at me and smiles.
Your legacy, Ella, is called Draenen. It gives you the ability to temporarily cancel the legacy of another guard.
Cetricus Ra lectures, his hands clasped behind his back.
It was one of the rarest on Lorien.
I wipe my forearm across my eyes and try to stand up a little straighter. I'm still glaring at Five, but my words are for Setrika's Raw.
Why are you telling me this now? I don't care.
It's important to know one's history, he replies, undeterred. If you believe the elders, legacies arose from Lorien to suit the needs of Loric society. I wonder, then, what benefit is derived from a power only useful against other guard?
Five remains perfectly still, refusing to meet my eyes. Distracted by my anger, I forget to moderate my words, to keep it cool.
I don't know, I snap sarcastically. Maybe Lorien saw freaks like you two coming and knew someone would have to stop you.
Ah,
Setrika's Ra replies, his voice overloaded with professional smugness, like I've stepped right into his trap.
But if that is the case, why did the elders not select you to be among the young guard saved? And if Lorien does somehow shape legacies to suit the needs of the Loric, why would it bestow legacies to those ill-suited to use them? The mere existence of Draenen suggests a fallibility in Lorien that the elders would seek to deny. It is chaos that needs to be tamed, not worshipped.
I try to take a step towards Five, but Setrika's Ra uses his telekinesis to keep me in place. I choke back my anger and remind myself I'm a prisoner here. I have to play along with Setrika's Ra's stupid game until the time is right. Revenge will have to wait.
Ella, Setrika's Ra says, do you understand what I'm telling you?
I sigh and turn away from Five to stare dully at Setrika's Ra. Obviously, he already has this whole philosophical lecture mapped out. It's probably one of the longer sections in his book. There's no point in trying to argue with him. So, everything's random and we should exploit it and blah, 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 I say. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. We'll never know since you went and destroyed the planet.
What did I destroy, exactly? A planet, perhaps, but not Lorien itself.
Setrika's Ra toys with one of the pendants dangling from his neck.
It is more complicated than you know, my dear. Soon, your mind will open, and you will understand. Until then...
He reaches over to the cart, plucks up a Mogadorian wrench, and tosses it to me.
We practice.
I snag the wrench out of the air and hold it in front of me. Setrika's Ra turns his attention to Five, still standing there silently, waiting to be dismissed.
Fly,
Setrika's Ra orders. Five looks up, confused.
When? Fly,
Setrika's Ra repeats, waving to the high ceiling of the docking bay.
As high as you can.
Five grunts and slowly levitates until he's about 40 feet in the air, his head nearly brushing the rafters of the docking bay.
Now what?
He asks. Instead of replying, Setrika's Ra turns to me. I've already got an idea what he wants me to do. My palm is sweating against the cold metal of the wrench. He kneels down beside me and lowers his voice.
I want you to do what you did at Dulce Base,
Setrika's Ra says. I told you. I don't know how I did that, I protest.
I know you are afraid. Afraid of me, of your destiny, of this place you find yourself,
Setrika's Ra says patiently. And for a terrifying moment, his voice sounds almost like Creighton.
But for you, that fear is a weapon. Close your eyes and let it flow through you. Your Draenen will follow. It is a hungry thing, this legacy that lives within you, and it will feed on what you fear.
I squeeze my eyes shut. Part of me wants to resist this lesson, my skin crawling at the sound of Cetricus Ra's voice. But another part of me wants to learn to use my legacy, no matter the cost. It doesn't seem so unnatural. There's an energy inside me that wants to get out. My Draenen wants to be used. When I open my eyes, the wrench glows with red energy. I've done it, just like at Dulce Base.
Very good, Ella. You can use the Draenen by touch, or, as you have just accomplished, charge objects with it for long-range attacks.
Cetricus Ra explains. He takes a quick step back when I thrust the wrench towards him.
Easy now, my dear.
I stare at Cetricus Ra, unblinking, holding the wrench like I might hold a torch if I was trying to scare off a wild animal. I wonder if I could hit him with it, drain his legacies and then bash his head in. Would Five try to stop me? Would I even be able to pull it off? I'm not yet sure of the full extent of Cetricus Ra's legacies, or what other tricks he might have up his sleeve, or what might happen with the charm that now binds us together. But maybe it would be worth it. A slow smile spreads across Cetricus Ra's face, as if he can tell I'm making these mental calculations, and he appreciates them.
Go on, he says,
and his eyes flick towards the ceiling.
You know what to do next. He failed me, and he killed your friend, didn't he?
I know that I should resist, that I shouldn't do anything Cetricus Ra wants me to do. But the wrench, charged with my Draenen, feels almost eager in my hand, like it's hungry and needs release. And then I think of Eight, dead somewhere down on Earth, killed by the chubby boy currently in a midair sulk right above me, who my grandfather apparently has designs about marrying me off to. I turn around and hurl the wrench at Five. I'm not sure my throw has the accuracy or the distance, so I give it a boost with my telekinesis. Five must see it coming, but he doesn't try to move out of the way. That's what makes me start to regret my decision, his resignation and willingness to receive this punishment. The wrench hits Five right in the sternum, but without much force. Even so, it sticks to his chest like it's magnetized. He sucks in a sharp breath, his bored look failing him as he claws at the wrench. That only lasts for a second, though, until the glow briefly intensifies and Five plummets out of the air. Five's landing is ugly. His legs crumple beneath him. His hands fail to brace the impact, and his shoulder cracks against the floor. He ends up lying on his face, breathing hard. He tries to pick himself up, but his arm isn't quite working right, and he only manages to push himself an inch off the floor before sagging back down. The wrench falls from his chest, the damage done, his legacies canceled. Cetricus Ra pats me approvingly on the back. That's when I really start to feel some guilt, seeing Five like that, even knowing what he did to Eight. It occurs to me that maybe he's just as much a prisoner as I am.
Get yourself to the infirmary,
Cetricus Ra orders Five.
I do not care what you do about your eye, but I need you able-bodied when we descend to Earth.
Yes, beloved leader,
Five croaks, straining his neck to look up at us.
That was well done,
Cetricus Ra says to me as he shepherds me towards the exit.
Come, we will return to your studies of the Great Book.
Even though I'm still furious about what he did to Eight, as we pass Five's prone body, I reach out to him telepathically. I refuse to lose my sense of right and wrong while I'm stuck here. I'm sorry, I tell him. I don't think he'll answer, considering how he could barely even look at me before. Just as I'm about to cut off our telepathic link, His response comes.